G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing
Hugh and Grant for breakfast on Triple M.
And a huge good morning to you wherever you are across the Limestone Coast. Hopefully your weekend was absolutely sensational. I would like to tell you that mine was absolutely sensational, but I didn't see an awful lot of the weekend, and the parts of the weekend that I was supposed to see, I cancelled on because I spent most of my time under a doona trying to get rid of a cold, which I still haven't managed to shake as yet, so you'll have to bear with me this morning on 963 Triple M. There's lots of stuff to talk about. There is a senator in South Australia who is in trouble. We will find out about that very, very soon. We are going to talk about some of the really cool stuff that's going on this week in the Limestone Coast. Some fantastic fundraisers are coming up. Petey's going to join us later on this morning. We're going to talk footy tipping. Milo is going to be in because there's some sport to talk about after the weekend. And I'll tell you what, I saw some shots from a footy game on the weekend, and I don't know how the players did it. I couldn't see the ball in the photos that I saw. We'll talk about that as well.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. The late Jack Isles and his band Freeze Frame from 1981. And after winning the battle rounds last week, the 80s coming out on top from 1981. I wonder whether you remember all about this.
It looks to me as if they're going to bowl underarm off the last ball. Rod Marsh is saying no, mate, but I'm sure he's going to bowl an underarm delivery. The umpires have been told, the batsmen have been told, and this is possibly a little bit disappointing, they're going to bowl an underarm.
Now, it became the underarm bowling incident of 1981. It took place on February the 1st, and it all took place when Australia played New Zealand in the one-day international cricket match. It took place at the MCG, and at the time, it was the Benson and Hedges World Series. Now, with one ball in the final over remaining, New Zealand required a six to tie the match, and to ensure that New Zealand didn't get the runs that they needed, the Aussie captain, Greg Chappell, instructed his bowler and younger brother, Trevor Chappell, to deliver the last ball underarm along the ground. Now, it was an action that was legal back in 1981, but nevertheless, it caused controversy across the globe. It was seen as being against the spirit of cricketing fair play. And up until recently, it was the greatest, I suppose, controversy in Australian cricket. But, as Trevor Chappell was quoted as saying earlier this year, hopefully now when people Google Cricket Australia, his name isn't going to come up tops. Now, on 963 Triple M, we're going to look back at the 80s across the morning this morning because, as I said, the 80s, they came out on top in the battle rounds as the first week of battles to find the greatest decade of all time finished up. And we're going to find out who the winner was of our fantastic retro ghetto blaster as well. Just one of a few that we are giving away during the course of the greatest decade of all time.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M. If you're just waking up this morning, Lucy Kachui is making news for all the wrong reasons today. She's a Liberal senator here in South Australia, and she's going to have to pay back thousands of dollars. We're going to find out why in a moment. Joe Hockey is also making headlines today for all the wrong reasons. 6 months as the ambassador to the United States, he has racked up a huge bill. And this morning, Hugh Fernane and Luke from the Night Shift were talking all about our police ripping off taxpayers. Here's what they had to say.
Earlier this morning, we were talking about this Liberal senator from South Australia, Liberal Senator Lucy Gachoue. She billed taxpayers about $2,139 for family members to fly from Darwin to Adelaide for her 50th birthday. Funny thing is, she's 55, so work that out.
Oh.
Now we find out that she's also billed taxpayers more than 12 large to speak at several Sydney functions completely unconnected with her electorate.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, is it amazing, or is it just we kind of expect this nowadays when you have, I don't know, Senator Bishop, you have a former Federal Treasurer, Joe Hockey, in the headlines in regards to, be it
70 grand.
Well, yeah, Joe Hockey was
babysitting.
Yeah, 70 grand, and that's over in Washington. So he's going off and spruiking, you know, I guess hopefully he's spruiking Australia, but at the same time he's getting babysitters so that he can go, well, basically piss it up. And, yeah, and who pays for it? Well, we do. And so, yeah, here we have the South Australian Senator, Lucy Gishue, who's unbelievable, 12 grand for five trips to New South Wales.
After Bronwyn Bishop and the helicopter.
You'd sort of think you'd learn, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you think I'll double-check, triple-check that? I mean, it's the sense of entitlement that these politicians, you know, and you know what it is? You know what the problem is? I've lived in Canberra.
Mm.
It's they're cocooned. They actually think they are in another world. They have no idea. For Joe Hockey to say people in Western Sydney don't drive cars and that we need a nation of lifters, not leaners, and then to claim living away from home allowances and by that paying his wife rent, renting his wife's house and paying her rent, completely out of touch. Anyway,
and now he's sent over to Washington so he can just live it up as a diplomat.
Our federal members are certainly out of touch. And it was interesting. I was watching the television earlier this morning before I came into work. And our Liberal Senator, Lucy Gishue, was quoted as saying that $200,000, which is what she's earning as a senator, is not an awful lot of money. My goodness, what we could all do with $200,000 a year. Oh, my goodness, I know it'd pay an awful lot of the things that I wish for.
You and Grant for breakfast.
As we start the day today, the captain of the Socceroos has said that there's no point in moaning about video technology, which crueled Australia's World Cup opener against France on the weekend. It was huge news on Sunday morning, let me tell you, and everybody seemed to have an opinion. Now, looking at news closer to home, it is time to welcome Karcher to the studios. Good morning.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, Limestone Coast Police have arrested and charged three teenagers. The local lineup has been announced for Stand Like Stones' Swinging with the Stars event. Simone Kane and Ben Hood have been announced as finalists at the SA Telstra Business Awards. And a new review from the Australian Energy Market Commission has reported a drop in consumer confidence. All of that in sport coming up soon.
Karch is going to be back in the next 10 or 15. She'll be keeping us up to date with what we need to know. We're going to check in with Hannah Rose Hamer and the team as well. And as we look towards what is going to be a huge weekend in the Limestone Coast, there are a couple of incredibly cool things that are going on. One of them, Triple M, will be rocking Jen's Hotel. We are talking live music from the 70s right the way through to now with Still Crazy. It's all taking place this Saturday night, the 23rd, from 8 p.m. Tickets are just $15. I would love to see you there with all your mates to not only have what is going to be a sensational night, but to help us to raise as much money as possible for the local hospitals here in the Limestone Coast. All the money going to the kids' wards of the Mount Gambier, Millicent, and of course, Narra Court Hospitals as well. It's going to be a great night. Triple M, rocking Jen's Hotel this Saturday night.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
I suppose a couple of the things that you need to know about today. There's been a new news poll put out, and if you follow politics at all, the satisfaction for Malcolm Turnbull's performance sits at about 40%, and the government is still trailing Labor in the two-party preferred stakes. It's one of the things that the National Newsroom are talking about today. Bill Shorten's in the news as well because he's facing a $10 billion black hole in his key savings plans to axe franking credits, refunds for retirees.
You and Grant
for breakfast.
On 963 Triple M over the course of the weekend, we were celebrating all things 80s because the 80s won the battle round in the greatest decade of all time on Friday. And I've got to tell you, there's been some really cool stuff that we've been talking about on our social media pages. And it led me to play you this. Do you remember from 1983 this iconic TV show?
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
One of the greatest TV shows of the 80s was the A-Team, of course. And it was one of the questions that we were asking during the course of the week, what you thought your favourite TV show was. One of the other things that we asked was what your favourite cartoon was from the 80s. And I've got to say, this is one of my faves.
And the masters of the universe. I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
"By the power of Grayskull!"
By the power of Grayskull, indeed. He-Man was one of the fantastic cartoons that I was growing up watching. And, hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. He-Man, of course. Now, on 963 Triple M, if you'd like to share your memories of the 80s, your favourite TV show, your favourite cartoon, whatever it is, I would love to hear from you this morning. 132710 is the number to call.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Just picked up the phone, a mate of mine said, "The 80s sucked." He reckons the 60s are the greatest decade of all time. Now, you can have your say this afternoon. The battle rounds for the greatest decade of all time continue this afternoon with Guy. He will be back. But the 80s were the absolute standout winners last week. And, speaking of winners, Al, the captain of the club, he was back on Friday afternoon giving away one of our retro ghetto blasters. Here's what happened.
Hey, it's Club Captain Al here, and the challenge to find the greatest decade of all time is in full swing. You've lived through these years, and now we want you to help us decide. Well, the 60s and 70s have gotten some hits literally this week. It was the 80s taking first week winning honours, but the challenge is far from over. And just by having your say at the club, you've got the chance to win a limited edition retro ghetto blaster. Now, Clive, you've done that, jumped on the website, picked your favourite decade, the one you think deserves the big win. Which one did you pick?
Well, I thought the 80s, particularly the early 80s.
Early 80s. Now, what type of groups are we talking from that time?
A lot of night clubbing, and it's a bit blurry. I don't want to sound ingenuous, but I pretty much just like the music, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know that I had any particular artists. This was all good.
Okay, so there's a lot to choose from then.
Just trying to put a name to it that just fits, you know.
Yeah, look, I understand that completely. I guess the only other question I've got for you, Clive, is when we send you this retro ghetto blaster that you've just won, will the early 80s be the first music you play on it?
Oh, that's sensational.
You're our latest winner. Congratulations.
Oh, that is unbelievable. I've never won a prize.
Well, what a prize to win too. Hey, amazing prizes like this one are just one of the many benefits of being a club member. So if you haven't hit up the website and jumped on board the radio station family, we'd love you to be a part of it. And you too could win one of these awesome retro ghetto blasters as part of our search for the greatest decade of all time.
MMM.com.au is how you can do it. Clive might have partied a little too hard during the course of the early 80s. And I've got to admit that I am more of a fan of the late 80s. 1985 is about the stage that I started to pay attention to music.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
I got totally engrossed last night in the Mighty Train show on television. So I missed out on all the stuff that was going on in the world of TV and I suppose the shows that we normally watch, like The Voice and MasterChef. But there was controversy galore last night. The Voice had its grand final, and controversial loop artist Sam Perry was crowned this year's winner of The Voice Australia. Now, people have taken to social media to complain like there's no tomorrow about that because, technically, he's not necessarily the best voice for The Voice. And on Channel 10, MasterChef fans are just utterly stunned. Matt Preston apparently took a cheeky taste of one of the contestants' fried bread sandwiches before the dish was complete. And then, to add insult to injury, the contestant concerned, Jess, didn't make it into the final top three, which has a lot of people, once again, taking to social media, which is what we do these days. We go to social media to complain and whinge. And I got to admit, I'll tell you a story after 7 this morning. I almost took to social media after a trip to Portland Friday to have a whinge. I haven't decided whether I'm going to as yet, but I'll tell you all about it soon.
You and Grant.
Now on 963 Triple M, as we celebrate all things 80s this morning, I tell you what, one of the products that no longer exists in the world was being heavily advertised in 1982. Check out this.
Tab Cola has a beautiful taste. So good for beautiful people. Tab Cola, beautiful to you and me. Cause every can has less than 2 calories. Tab Cola looks a beautiful shape. Just right for beautiful people. Tab Cola tastes so good to you. Great taste.
On 963 Triple M, you got to love a good jingle, don't you? Tab Cola, it no longer exists, but it was one of the one of the best commercials of the 80s, and I'd love to know what you think the best commercial is for you. We put a post up on the Triple M Lumstone Coast Facebook page over the course of the weekend talking about the best commercials, and there's been some crackers over the course of what was an incredible decade, and one of the best Aussie commercials. I'm going to play it later on this morning for you.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Last week, you might have heard Karcher talking all about a couple of Limestone Coast entrepreneurs who are going to be making their way to Silicon Valley, to Austin, and to New York. It's the first winners of the Envy Awards, and we get to find out about it this morning. A lady who is no stranger to the Triple M Breakfast Show. She is the lady that heads Ashley Lauren. She joins me on the line. Ashley, good morning.
Good morning.
Ashley, Envy Awards took place last week. You walked away as one of the winners. What was that like?
Yeah, what a whirlwind. Like, it was such a quick project, like going over 7 weeks, and then all of a sudden we were up on this stage doing a pitch. And before I knew it, I was holding this gigantic check and trying to take it all in to see, you know, what this amazing opportunity had given to me. So definitely an amazing feeling, that's for sure.
Ashley, it's been an incredible 12 to 18 months for you. You've had some incredible highlights.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a part of the whole thing, even listening to my own pitch and going over my own pitch. I have to pinch myself basically to think, wow, has this actually happened to me? Like, it's just insane. Like, it was only September last year that we did New York, so, you know, hardly even 12 months. And then having the opportunity of, you know, seeing Kesha wearing one of my crowns in January, and it's just kind of snowballed from there. And, you know, we're really looking forward to an exciting year this year.
So tell me all about the program that culminated in the Envy Award and what it's all about.
Yeah, well, basically, it's for any person who has got a business idea or has a startup business or feels like they're a little bit stuck. So that's where I was feeling. I was in this position where I, you know, had come so far in my business, and I was sitting there going, you know, how do I make this bigger? How do I expand? So the great thing about this program was that I felt like I just needed this advice on how to scale, and it's such a big investment of time and money that I needed to be led in the right direction. So they gave me the confidence to give, you know, to take these steps and really define my business model and how to project revenue. So it was just saving me a lot of time and money, and I got this really great advice from these experts.
And not only that, you've walked away as the winner of the Envy Awards, and now you've got this trip to look forward to, which must be just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Absolutely. And for the market that I'm trying to get into, so I'm just expanding, you know, domestically as far as retailing. So that will be a perfect time for me to expand and get to know the export market and try and find some shops over there to sell my products. It'll be very exciting.
What are some of the things that you will get to do while you are over in the US?
So we'll visit Silicon Valley, and we'll, you know, which is great. There's obviously the Google and the Apple hubs there. Mm. But the one thing that I'm most excited about is the South by Southwest. So just being able to meet mentors, you know, a real high-tech kind of environment where, you know, you hear a lot and see a lot online, but when you actually get to mingle with these people who are creating these things, I think it's just going to be, like you said, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I'm really excited to see who we meet and all these things that we get to learn.
And actually, it's not going to be just about meeting people from overseas, presumably. It's going to be a chance to be with like-minded people from right the way across the state, because from what I understand, the awards have taken place in a number of different areas of South Australia.
Yes, that's right. So there will be a group of us. The details are still a bit unsure, but yes, there'll definitely be a group of us, and it'll be great to get a good combination of people and work together and, you know, have that connection and being able to, because there's a collaborative working space now in the Limestone Coast. So, not only the people here, there'll be another program that runs later on in the year, but we'll also get to connect with all the people in South Australia, so it'll be amazing.
And Ashley, what would you say to anybody in the Limestone Coast who would like to be part of the new Venture Institute Venture Dorm project?
Oh, look, I think if you've got an idea, if you're just sitting there going, oh, you know, should I or shouldn't I? It's just one of those things that you just have to, you know, just have to take a step out of your comfort zone and try and do it. Head on to the Flinders New Venture Institute website and you'll get some more information. There's some great videos. You know, don't be scared. It's a very close and, you know, not scary environment. They'll take you under their wing and they'll definitely guide you and where you need to go. And, you know, it was the best thing I ever did. So definitely get online and see what they can do for you.
Ashley, it's going to be sensational next year. Hopefully we get the chance to talk a whole lot on the Brekkie Show about the cool things that you're doing before then. Thanks as always for taking the call this morning.
No worries. Thanks very much.
You and Grant.
For breakfast.
Triple M.
Triple M.
It is indeed. It's great to be with you. It's Monday morning as we head back to work after a huge weekend. Lots of great stuff was going on. And we're going to talk about what happened in the world of sports soon. As I talked about earlier today, one of the most amazing photos that I saw over the course of the weekend on social media came from one of the footy matches in the Western Border. And I have got to give it to the two teams that were playing because I couldn't see the ball in the picture at all. And I don't know how they went doing, playing the game. It was definitely very wet and very muddy. Now on 963 Triple M, one of the things that you're going to hear about today is the terrifying moment that a tourist patted a wild lion. The people who were running the safari just shook their head and wondered how somebody who was being such an idiot actually managed to walk away unharmed. And the vision of it is just incredible. The things people think when they go on holidays is just beyond me. It is one of the things that's making news though this morning. And to find out what else is making news closer to home, let me tell you, it is time to welcome Katja.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, three teenagers from Mount Gambier and Millicent have been charged following investigations into a stolen vehicle. Stanlake Stone Swinging with the Stars lineup has been announced. Co-creators of George the Farmer, Simone Kane and Ben Hood have been announced as finalists for the SA Telstra Business Awards. And the latest survey from the Australian Energy Market Commission has been released. All of that in sport coming up soon.
Now, earlier this morning, we talked all about one of the interesting things that took place back in 1981. It was the underarm bowling incident that took place in the world of cricket. Well, cricket today has been rocked by yet another ball tampering scandal. This time it's Sri Lanka who are in the firing line. You're going to hear more about it across the day, I am sure.
You and Grant for breakfast.
Now on 963 Triple M, I don't know whether you've seen the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page at all, but I've got to send a shout out to the girls at Lowe's out at the marketplace because they helped me out recently when I did some dress ups. What I was doing was recreating one of my favorite movie posters of all time. As the battle heats up for the greatest decade of all time, I took the opportunity to see if I could dress up like the Blues Brothers, really. It was a fantastic way to spend the day not doing any work. And you can check out the photo online. You can also tell me about the movie poster that best describes you. There's been some fantastic ones so far. And once again, a big shout out to the girls at Lowe's who had some fun dressing me up for the photo that you'll see online. You can check it all out at the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page today. Make sure you have your say while you're there. Now, on your local, don't forget, the greatest decade of all time, the Battle Rounds, back this afternoon. Guy is going to be joining us. There is some amazing classics on the way for you after 12. And, you get to have your say as to which decade we'll make it through.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
Triple M rocks Limestone Coast local sport thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
On 963 Triple M, we do rock local sport. And I tell you what, I've seen some photos from the footy on the weekend, and I think it was West that were playing. It looked like a mud bath out there, Milo.
Certainly was. Got to love your footy. And, of course, remember a few seasons back, pristine surface there when the AFL game. It ain't anymore, so they're going to have to do a lot of work to get it up. But no doubt the crew at West and all the helpers will make that happen. Now, just look at the Pioneers firstly on Friday night. Catch that real Pioneers in a game that was worthy of a final. And, gee, it might have been a grand final, who knows, but they're still in the mix. They went down 103-100 to Kilsyth Cobras in extra time, and it was a great game. It was truly worthy of a final. So they know they can mix it with the best. So all they've got to do is string some wins together. Tom Daly, 29 points and 6 rebounds, and Sam McDaniel, 28 and 6. And the newest recruit, Alex Marzette, well, he really slipped into the groove, 18 and 7, and also chipping in Lewis Thomas with 12 points and 7 rebounds. Our Pioneers sit 12th, 4 wins, 7 losses. They have got a very good percentage. They're on the road. There's 9 games to go. And Friday they take on Bendigo, 8-7-5, and they beat us 89-75 last time. So they'll be looking to turn that around, the boys. And then backing up on Saturday night, Ballarat, who sit third, old arch rival, 9 wins, 4 losses. And we'll catch up with Coach Richard Hill later this morning. Now, talking about Western Border and those conditions, the Super Sucks, of course, and South Gambia, 2 in a row. And what a win they had over old arch rival East Gambia, 44 points. So that's a thrashing in those conditions. Nothing else can describe that. South, Braden Kane with 4, and he leads the goal kicking with 33 by 8. So, gee, in one of the lower teams, he's done very well this year. Youngster Henry Capewell with 3, and Corbin Johnson leading the way for East with 2 goals. Now, that game you're talking about, Yui, the slog in the bog, Millicent, 10-point victors in the end, swimming against the tide. They defeated West Gambia, and Millicent, Dylan Bromley, 3 goals. And they were in the first half when the ball was a little bit dry, and West Gambia's Josh Chappelle with 2 goals for the Kangaroos. Now, Dylan Bromley picked up the CUB Carlton Dry Polo Shirt, compliments of Commercial and Ricky Dalby for that special effort. He did some good, strong work in the forward line and the ruck, as well as those 3 goals out of 4, which is 75% of his team's score. Now, Cass and Sanford, they jumped North but had to work hard because North come home, and it was the Cats at home eventually winning by 8 points. Now, interesting to note, Dylan Ayton, ex-coach and Western Border Brian Hennessy medalist. When we talked to Hamish Jarrod, the coach, on the Ray White Keatley Noddles footy show on Friday, he said Ayton might be out for up to 6 weeks with a knee issue. Well, he bobbed up and was in the best player in the reserve. So, gee, he's had a miracle cure. So we'll have to watch that space. Good news for the Cats if that's correct. Now, Middersea, no doubt conditions no better down there. But Mount Burr defied the conditions because they absolutely belted Congrong by 125 points in a percentage booster for the Burr. Jack Gregory, 9, Dale Bowring and Dylan Ridley was 3 apiece. Now, Congrong, Jack Mullen, 5 out of 7. That's a handy game by him. Glencoe, still alive for the 4. They're 1 win and percentage out of that top group, and they defeated Hatherley by 24 points. And special well done to Loyal Murphy and Mid-South East Deal president Peter Mitchell, who tipped them to win in the Border Watch. He always goes for Glencoe, of course, along with Marvin the Monkey. And there is no truth in the rumour that Marvin the Monkey is actually Freddie Smith. Good morning, Freddie, at the SE Times, no doubt already. Glencoe, Adam Gregory led the way with 3 goals. Hatherley's 2 each for Brody Fabris and Matt Faulkner. The Clangadoo team clashed with Port Mac, 1-4, and 4 marks to Port Mac. They pushed the ladder leader and went down by 20 points. The Do, Andrew Stone, 4 goals, and for Port Mac, 5 out of 7, good bag by Jake Turner for the Bay Boys. Now, good news there, Jacob Langdon, the Universal player, he was named best player, and he's obviously back to his very best form in his 3rd game this season. Robe and Nangwari, and Robe did what we thought they would. They defeated Nangwari by 177 points. 9 goals was the leader for the Roosters, Jake Pitt, and he leads the comp with 44 goals. Heading up to the big league, Cowrie, Narracourt, Tatiara, and I tell you what, no doubt it's cold at Narracourt this morning. Minus, I think, from what I heard. Narracourt, 5-point victors over Border Districts. And for Narracourt, coach Chris Laddams led the way with 4 goals. Borders, it was Daniel Starr with 2. Keith and Lucendale clashed. And this was a double chance game. Reigning premiers Lucendale come out on top by 16 points. Tommy Logan led the way for the Blue Roos with 3 goals. And Ben Simons for the Crows, he also kicked 3 and leads the comp with 46. And interesting to note, show me the money, late recruit Aaron Filkey, best on ground. He's an ex-West Adelaide League footballer, and that's what they got him for. Kybe, they dug deep, and they defeated Padua and probably ended their final five aspirations by 1 straight kick, that 6-pointer. And it was Kybe's Lockie McGregor with 4 goals, and Padua's Chad Francis and J.I. Kavitsef with 2 apiece. KLU, what a percentage booster for them. 76 points over Kingston down by the seaside. No doubt the wind was cold and blowing down there. The KLU tally of 7 by coach Nick Murphy was one of the best of the day across the 3 leagues. And Kingston's Steph Branston with 2 there. Now, lucky last, it was Panara and Mandala, and this is always a great clash. And what a way to win a game at Mandala in those conditions. Panara Eagles, they retained second spot, winning by 2 points, and Brody Foster with 3 goals, along with Adam Merritt for the Eagles, and for the Moots, all singles there. And just before we head out to the break, Huey, at the higher level, state under 18 footy, which is the first step to the AFL draft. The South Australian boys defeated Vic Country by 27 points.
Oh, awesome.
And ex-Lucendale player, Will Gould, in the best players again. So he's ticking all the boxes to be spotted by the AFL scouts. Their next games will be against the Allies on Friday, June the 29th at Geelong, and then Vic Metro at Etihad Stadium on the 4th of July.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
Now, on 963 Triple M, one of the things you can do online this morning is take a look at, me playing dress-ups. Last night I put a post up of one of my favourite movie posters that I was lucky enough to recreate with the help of the girls from Lowe's. Now, if you would like to not only check it out online, you can do so at Triple M's Limestone Coast Facebook page. You can also have your say as to what movie poster would best describe you. While you're online, you can also check out some of the other great stuff that we are doing as the battle rounds for the greatest decade of all time continue. And with the 80s coming out as the hands-down favourite on Friday, I want to take a look back at an ad that was around in 1980 that you're all going to know and probably all going to sing after this.
My dad is the fruit that goes through bunnies to make the cordials that I like best.
Kids deserve Cotties Cordials. Cotties, with a great taste of 25% fruit juice.
Oh, 963 Triple M, one of the most iconic ads of the early 80s, and it came out in 1980.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
Triple M rocks Limestone Coast local sport, thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
On 963 Triple M, we've talked some footy, we've talked a little about the Pioneers and their loss on Friday night, but there's a whole lot more sport that took place on the weekend. And Milo's back in the studio.
Yeah, we turned to netball. Of course, a cold red leg day, braved by the girls, of course. And in the A-grade Western Border, it was East Gambier 57 defeating South 42, and Millicent 69, too good for West 47, and North 70 over at Island Park. They defeated Caston Sanford 24. And yesterday in Melbourne, the Western Border 15 and unders, coached by Donna Denton, played in the very competitive and strong Victorian Association Championships. They won 1 and lost 4 in that competition. Now, Mid-South East, Glencoe 48 went down to Haverley 56. And in a final 4 game, Mount Burr 60 defeated Congrong 48. So the Mozziettes are alive for finals action. So well done there. And Klangadu 49 defeated Port Mac 19. Lucky last, Robe 73 defeated Nangwari 50. Moving up to KNT, and in a perhaps a preview of the grand final, reigning premiers Lucendale got up by 1, 46, defeating Keith 45. And Keith, of course, of the premiership specialists up that way. Now, Kybe 45 defeated Padua 38, Penola 68 defeated Mundala 51, and Narracourt 73 defeated Border District 31. Kingston 65 defeated KLU 45. Mount Gambier Association Netty Amazon 33 went down to Nomads 40. Likewise, Lakes 11 went down to Hobbits 77. Saints 45 defeated Zodiacs 26 and Intruders 48. Too good for Vicky 35. Now, perhaps just over the hump, Final Four is probably starting to shape up the association. Looks like Hobbits, Saints, Intruders and Vickies with the order pending there in that competition. Now, Bendigo Bank, Southeast Women's Football Association, which is Zocker, and no doubt all inspired by the World Cup in Russia. All those Russians, Yui. Under-15s, it was United 5. Chelsea Frost got 3 of those. They defeated Inter, had 3, and that whole 3 goals, well done, Ella Duty. So, good morning, Maddie, there. And Apollo City lost to Central Zip 2, and in the big girls, United 2, they drew with Portland 2, and Chloe Booth there kicked the whole score for Portland, and Wanderers lost to Inters 4 Zip, and Apollo City 2. They played Centrals, who snuck in 4. Good to see Tess Andrews back with 2 goals. Now, that match was abandoned due to poor light. No surprise there. Now, looking at the round ball still, it bounced out at the Ice House during the week in the South East Coast Basketball League. The A-grade men, one of the matches of the night. Bulldogs Blue 67, Simon Burkfield 20, defeated Ruse 65, Maddie Sutton and Malik McCour with 20 points there. It was Bulldogs Red 64, good morning Narracourt, Matt Black 23, defeated Cougars 45. And we've got to give him a bit of a rap. The Leaping Leo hit 96.1. Mitch Tinley, he snuck through 4 three-pointers and a tally of 18. So he's back on target there. And the Cat 69, another close one. Josh Murphy, 35, defeated Panthers, 67. Rob Hine leading the way with 20 there. Won't forget the girls, A-grade women. Cougars, 59. Tennille Gray, another tally of 25. Defeated Saints, 51. And lucky last, Cats, 53. Olivia Fuller, 32. They defeated Bulldogs 53, sorry. They defeated Bulldogs 33. And Olivia Fuller, no doubt, had a kick of the footy up at Penola yesterday in that trial game for the Limestone Coast Football League as well. Now, you and the Pioneers will catch up with Richard Hill later on and get a wash-up of what happened at the Ice House in that loss by 3 points on Friday night.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
It is the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Classic Fab Four for you this morning. Paul McCartney's birthday, by the way, taking place today. Now, on 963 Triple M, one of the things that Karch has been talking about this morning is Swinging with the Stars. The Stanlike Stone Foundation have got the fantastic fundraiser taking place this weekend. Georgie McKay joins me on the line to tell us all about it. Georgie, hello.
Hello, Ewan.
Now, Georgie, you guys have finally released all the dancers for Swinging with the Stars, and it's going to be a great night on Saturday night.
I know, we can't wait. We've got a star-studded lineup this weekend, and quite seriously, it's so exciting. We've got representatives from across the region, including our first person from Millicent, so it's super exciting.
Now, these people have all been holding fundraisers right the way across the southeast for a number of months now, and they've also been putting work in behind the scenes to make sure their dancing's up to scratch.
Yeah, that's right. It's a really, you've got to be really committed to do Swinging with the Stars, because not only do you have to learn 3 or 4 different dance styles and put in all the hours for rehearsal, you also commit to fundraising. And, do you know, I love the lead up to the event because there are people doing all these amazing things and we, as, you know, Limestone Coast residents get to go all these incredible fundraisers. So it's really great fun.
All right, so tell me about the dancers that we're going to see on Saturday night.
Where they sit? Do you want me to give away who's going to win?
No. Tell me about the dancers, who they are and what we're going to see.
Got it. Sorry, Ewan. I thought you said where they sit.
No, it's all right.
We're going to see 4 from Mount Gambier. We've got Lucy Von Stanky from Presto Eatery, Liam Goodfellow from Grant High School, Ali Coonan, Maltese Real Estate, and Ben Deering, our new recruit. He's the tower guy responsible for the Centenary Tower in the Mount. So a really lovely lineup from Mount Gambier, and I'm sure we're going to have a full house ready to cheer all of them on. Millicent, we've got Steve Doldig. Now, Steve's an accountant, And they also own a retail shop in Millicent, their family. So, you know, he's got great connections and really good to see someone from Millicent competing at last. We've had a lot of people say, when are we going to get someone from Millicent? But finally, we've got someone. From Robe and Cape Jaffa, we've got Anna Hooper, who's, of course, the winemaker at Cape Jaffa Wines. And she brings, you know, a lot of a different network, some great people supporting Anna, and it'll be good to see some Robe Cape Jaffa people there. Frances, we've got Laura Hawkins. Laura is also working at Robe, so again, a wide reach of people that will be there to support Laura. And last but not least, from Panola, we've got Nicole Lear. Nicole is a primary school teacher at Panola Primary, and I think she's got all of her class behind her. And, you know, we're cheering her on and can't wait to see how she goes on Saturday night.
So the big question, Georgie, has got to be, are there still tickets available and how do we grab them?
Oh, look, there are, but only a handful. So I would recommend if people still want to go, get in quick, go to Chapman's News Agency or give them a call. Tickets are $110 a head, but all that money goes in to support our region and the future of our region. So, yeah, get down to Chapman's. Last-minute tickets are still available.
Georgie, good luck on the weekend. I would love to catch up next week and find out who the best dancer is in the Limestone Coast. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thanks, Ewan.
On 963 Triple M, we have got news and sport coming up for you in just a few moments' time. Hannah Rose Hamer and the team are going to keep us up to date with, well, a number of stories that are being talked about this morning. One of the biggest and one of the ones that I suppose truly makes me shake my head, firefighters have been forced to remove offensive markings from an area where tributes have been piling up for murdered woman Erudice Dixon. One of the other stories that is truly tragic this morning, a Sunshine Coast mother has watched in horror as her two daughters and her own mum were hit by a car, killing her six-year-old girl. These are just two of the stories the National News team will keep us up to date with across the day today. When it comes to local news, Kutch is going to be back soon. And there's a lot that's been talked about in the local news as well. Karcher has been talking about a couple of teenagers who got caught doing the wrong thing. She's been talking about the Stand Like Stone Foundation, of course. And Simone Kane and Ben Hood have had some really amazing news over the course of the last couple of days that Karcher will tell you about in just a moment on Triple M.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
You and Grant for breakfast.
Now on 963 Triple M, there is an awful lot of stuff that we've talked about on the show this morning, but one of the things that I've resisted talking about till now is the royal family. Of course, we have had a brand new birth in the royal family. We've had a royal tie the knot, of course, with Harry and Meghan, and it seems that the royal family over the course of the weekend have let it slip that there's going to be a royal same-sex marriage this year. It is a massive year for the royal family. And this morning, Luke and the team on the night shift were talking all about it.
With Prince Harry marrying Meghan Markle last month and Princess Eugenie preparing to say I do in October 2018, it's shaping up to be a big year in royal weddings. However, the British royal family will soon have another arguably even more significant wedding milestone to celebrate its first same-sex marriage. Lord Ivar Mountbatten, a cousin of Queen Elizabeth and a great-great-great-grandson of Queen Victoria, will tie the knot with his partner James Coyle later this year. 2 years ago, Mountbatten, who's 55 years of age, made history as the first member of the extended royal family to come out publicly, revealing his relationship with Coyle in a Daily Mail interview. The pair met at a Swiss ski resort early 2016. Mountbatten was previously married to Lady Penny Mountbatten for 16 years, during which time they had three daughters. The couple divorced in 2011. In a sweet twist, Penny will be giving her former husband away at the wedding ceremony later this year, a gesture, she says, was the idea of their daughters. It makes me feel quite emotional. I'm really very touched, she says. What a milestone. A British royal family same-sex wedding.
Whoever thought that we'd be talking about that? But the best bit about that story is, of course, Lady Penny, who is going to be giving away her ex-husband, which I just think is really, really cool. On 963 Triple M, Hilly's going to join us soon. There's some sport to talk about. Milo's going to be back in the studio as we talk all about the Pioneers and their loss on Friday night at the Ice House. We're going to catch up with Pity too because there's some footy tipping to do. And well, I'm going to talk about Polly's ripping off taxpayers.
Triple M Rocks, Limestone Coast local sport. Thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
It is your local 963 Triple M talking more sport this morning. We've got Hilly on the line from the Pioneers.
Yeah, and of course, on Friday night at the Ice House, the Kestet Rural Pioneers. What a game. They went down 103-100 to the top team, Kilsyth Cobras, in extra time. Good morning, Coach Richard Hill.
How you doing, Milo?
Good. Another week ahead of us. Now, it was a game worthy of a final. You were pretty right with the script that you intimated to us on Friday. No great difference in the vital stats, but some crucial turnovers at different stages.
Yeah, look, we put ourselves in a, you know, like a 9 down coming into the last quarter and got ourselves to 5 up under 2 minutes to go. And, you know, we felt we were in a, well, obviously we were in great shape. Just, you know, missed box out on a free throw and then a really unlucky fingertip on a ball that... you know, I'm not even sure whether it was a fingertip on it, but, you know, converted a nothing into 2 points that really changed the momentum of the game in about 26 seconds. So a little bit snake bit on that one. But, yeah, we had our opportunities and just couldn't close it out, Milo. Unfortunately, been a bit of a tail for us.
Tom Daly, 29 and 6 rebounds. Sam McDaniel, very consistent, 28 and 6. And Alex Marzetti, he's starting to find his feet, 18 and 17. And... Lewis Thomas, 7 rebounds and 12 points. Now, big question, we come out okay, no new injuries?
Well, you don't really want to know, Milo, do you?
Oh.
Yeah, training yesterday, Tommy Daly's gone down with the re-injuries, his knee again. So, not looking that good at this minute. Not sure, I went home and he was pretty swollen last night. And, yeah, not a good scenario for us. Just sort of one thing after another. But we had a really good training session and... guys are pretty pumped and, you know, the new leader goes down with about 10 minutes to go in training yesterday. So, you know, it's just been a crazy scenario for us this year. Like, we've, you know, like I can't recall having a serious injury at training at all across a 6-year period. And like, we've just had one after another at training. So, yeah, you know, and they're actually, you know, they're not muscle injuries or anything like that. They're not fatigue or, you know, they're just sort of accidental type things. So, yeah, a bit disappointing for him. I know he's hurting pretty much at the moment. And hopefully the news is not as bad as what it looks like it might be.
All right. Well, let's hope the week goes as best as it can. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Now, of course, we'll catch up with you on Friday because Friday night it's Bendigo. They are 8th, 7th and 5. Now, last time they got us 89-75, so... We're in with a chance, and Saturday night, Ballarat, old arch rivals, third on the ladder, 9-4. Hilly, let's hope the week brightens up a bit, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Oh, look, Milo, we've got no doubt we're heading to Bendigo expecting to win that game and then back up, and then we've got a couple of games the next week, so we've got 4 and 8 days, so we'll know our fate, you know, like probably... reasonably soon whether we're still in the fight or out of the picture.
Coach of the Kestet Rural Pioneers, Richard Hill, as always, thanks for your time.
Good on you guys. Have a good week.
Triple M.
Loves the Sheep's Back Museum.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
Triple M, I am almost out of here, but before I go, Ray Hadley is going to be talking about our politicians today. Joe Hockey has billed taxpayers almost $70,000 for booze, breakfast and babysitters, and Liberal Senator Lucy Kachui has been told that she's paying back thousands of dollars after she billed taxpayers for flying two family members to Adelaide for a belated 50th birthday party. These are just some of the things that are being talked about. And the boys on the night shift, they talked about it this morning. Here's what they had to say.
Earlier this morning, we were talking about this Liberal Senator from South Australia, Liberal Senator Lucy Gachoue. She billed taxpayers about $2,139 for family members to fly from Darwin to Adelaide for her 50th birthday. Funny thing is, she's 55, so work that out.
Oh,
now we find out that she's also billed taxpayers more than 12 large to speak at several Sydney functions completely unconnected with her electorate.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, is it amazing or is it just we kind of expect this nowadays when you have...
I don't know, Senator Bishop. You have a former federal treasurer, Joe Hockey, in the headlines in regards to, be it...
70 grand.
Well, yeah, Joe Hockey was...
Babysitting.
Yeah, 70 grand, and that's over in Washington. So he's going off and spruiking, you know, I guess hopefully he's spruiking Australia, but at the same time he's getting babysitters so that he can go, well, basically piss it up. And, yeah, and who pays for it? Well, we do. And so, yeah, here we have the South Australian Senator, Lucy Gishue, who's unbelievable, 12 grand for five trips to New South Wales.
After Bronwyn Bishop and the helicopter...
You'd sort of think you'd learn, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you think I'll double-check, triple-check that? I mean, it's the sense of entitlement that these politicians... You know, and you know what it is? You know what the problem is? I've lived in Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're cocooned. They actually think. They are in another world. They have no idea. For Joe Hockey to say people in Western Sydney don't drive cars and that we need a nation of lifters, not leaners, and then to claim living away from home allowances and by that paying his wife rent, renting his wife's house and paying her rent, completely out of touch. Anyway,
and now he's sent over to Washington so he can just live it up as a diplomat.
Ray Hadley is in a couple of minutes' time. Guy is back this afternoon as the battle rounds continue for the greatest decade of all time. And make sure you jump online to have your say at triplem.com.au. A retro ghetto blaster. It could all be yours. All thanks to us here at the Limestone Coast, Triple M. Have a great day. I will catch you tomorrow morning for brekkie. I'll be back from 6. See you then.